The problem with most financial shows when it comes to calling the market is that it's one guy's opinion over and over again.
Sell, sell, sell!
But any veteran investor knows that there are two sides to every trade, a buyer for every seller, and vice versa.
Buy, buy, buy!
That's why Money Life brings you a wide range of experts.
I need people who, you know, can work well under pressure.
Each day you get the benefit of a new set of eyes on the market with different methods and decision-making tools. Every day you'll hear a different expert giving their take on the market, on what looks good, what looks bad, and how they feel about some of your stock selections.
This stock is blowing up right now.
You never know who might show up to talk stocks. It may be a famous money manager or someone you've never heard of before.
No!
But you'll always get their straight talk.
Must you always be so blasted honest?
Their straight talk, that is, about what they see happening on the market and where to think about putting your money on the daily Money Life Market Call.
That's right. It's the Money Life Market Call. And today we're talking with Ted Parrish. He is manager of the Hensler Equity Fund, co-manager of the Hensler Equity Fund. If you want information, well, it's ticker symbol HEQFX, or go to Hensler.com, which is H-E-N, two S's as in Sam, H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R, Hensler. .com. Ted has been with us before. It's always fun chatting with him, so I'm pleased to say, Ted, welcome back to Money Life.
Hey, Chuck, how are you?
I'm doing well, and we always have to start these conversations with what makes somebody's style, because buy, sell, and hold in a vacuum just doesn't work. You have a style that's, I won't say entirely unique, but it is definitely something that you and Gene Hensler have developed and worked on, so lay it out for us. And then we'll get on to what you like and you dislike and what you see on the big picture and things.
Well, Chuck, our strategy is pretty simple. Dr. Gene is a former professor, and he strictly by the book when it comes to fundamentals. And we try to avoid bankruptcy risk, because that's the number one risk when you invest in equities, to lose everything, you know. So we focus on companies that avoid bankruptcy risk. So we're high quality focused. We screen for financial strength and S&P earnings and dividend quality. And what that entails is narrowing the number of stocks that we look at in our universe down to about 700 names. Since we're investing for a large amount of assets, we like liquid companies. We want to buy companies that have at least 150,000 shares traded daily. And I think one of the most important variables is our valuation screen, which we want to buy companies that have a PEG ratio of one or less than its industry. And from there, it's all about what sectors we want to invest in. And we start the year out each year with a few themes and a few sectors that we like to overweight. And it served us well over the years.
How often do you rejigger the sectors that are going to get your weighting? I mean, you say you start out the year with it. But if you look at this year, you've got a lot of people talking now, at least on this show, about how they're shifting. They're moving from what they were tilting towards back in January to something different now that the market's come off its highs. How often do you change, and what are you tilting towards now, and what are you maybe moving away from?
Well, you know, it's always a work in progress. Some sectors get ahead of themselves, and it forces us to shift to other sectors. This year, we started out with a serious underweight in financials. We didn't have many banking stocks. We've since changed that. We've added a banking stock to the portfolio. Consumer staples was overweight at the beginning of the year. We were slightly defensive, and now we've kind of reduced consumer staples and shifted a little more over to consumer discretionaries. As you know, staples ran up pretty fast earlier in the year. I think it was some income stock chasing, and as well as just a defensive posture for the market. We quickly reduced our staples and put it over to more growth in cyclical stocks and industrials and discretionary.
You and I were talking off the air briefly about how the change in the interest rate picture is going to make some folks that work with you happy in terms of what they're going to get out of bond rates. As you look at the big picture right now, are you tilting more towards bonds and moving away from some of the income producing stocks? Or are you going to have to tilt away from certain things that you think, hey, if we're going to see an increase in rates, maybe I don't want to be in this or that sector where I was pursuing some yield in the past?
Well, our strategy from an overall wealth management point of view is pretty simple. We have a 10-year rule. Any money that's needed in the next 10 years, we put into fixed income securities that mature at the time of that need. Any money outside of 10 years, we put into stocks. So from a financial planning perspective, that bond philosophy is pretty simple. But over the past 5 years, we have not been able to buy very many securities in bonds because the yields have been anemic. So the recent increase in interest rates makes things a little more attractive. We are finding some munis, a few corporates that look fairly attractive. On the stock side of the equation, we've never really been fans of telecom or utilities. And earlier on in the year, those stocks really outperformed, and that hurt our performance. As the interest rates ticked up, investors moved away from that high yield stock trade, and those stocks have since pulled back. So that's helping our performance. But net-net, we keep the bond decisions separate from the stock decision based on the time horizon that we're looking at for our clients.
As you're looking out now, you know, you talked about how you've never really liked the utilities, et cetera. You talked a little bit about where you're moving. Let's talk about some names that maybe have moved into the portfolio, and then we'll get to some that have moved out. What's something that most recently, as this market has been going through the shifts, you sort of said, you know, there's the thing that is in my sweet spot now?
Well, you know, we avoided banks for quite some time. It hurt us in 2012, and we've come to the realization that any long expansion in the stock market has to include financials and has to include banks, and we've decided to go back into banking. So we bought a Southeast Regional Bank, BB&T. It's about a little over $20 billion market cap company. They were in the news this year because their capital plan was rejected by the feds, and they could not give more money to shareholders by way of dividend increases. We saw that as a catalyst for a future increase in the dividend, as well as this company's in a fast-growing area, the Southeast. They have a very diversified revenue stream for a regional with insurance, securities, trading, and also investment banking. And their loan growth has been higher than their peers, and we think that their asset quality is improving. So that's one of the names we've added. Mm-hmm. Stock is pretty cheap, trading a little over book, but dividend yield right now is about 2.75%. Percent, and we expect to see a boost to that most likely in the fourth quarter or early next year.
So that's BB&T Corporation, ticker symbol BBT. What else stands out to you?
In consumer discretionaries, we have a plethora of companies in there, but one that we like that's gotten, it's done pretty well this year, but it's just recently popped is Kohl's, the department store company. They're a mid-tier company, which is a pretty boring space. This company, they've had some ugly numbers earlier on. Fourth quarter of 2012 was pretty ugly for them. They had some inventory issues. They're cleaning that up, but more importantly, they're focusing on their online offerings. They were really reluctant to invest in their website and online sales. They've since backtracked and put some assets and capital towards building that out, and they're in the process of hiring a new chief marketing officer, which we think is gonna do the company well. They're sprucing up their cachet in a sense. But it's one of those soccer mom favorites, and right now it's trading for a PEG ratio of about 1, has about 3% dividend yield, and we think that, you know, the days ahead should be positive for the company.
Let's flip this around and go in the other direction. What's something that you recently had to give up on where it had met your metrics and had met all the criteria you have, and you had to say, nah, not anymore?
Well, there's not a whole lot that we've dumped out of our portfolio. We have trimmed back on some of the staples. We trimmed our position in Pepsi. We still own a small position in it, but those stocks had gotten to a valuation that we weren't comfortable with. They were trading near their above their long-term averages. I think that a lot of investors, they went a defensive high-income route. And, you know, we trimmed some of those companies, the Altria's, the lower large tobacco companies. We've trimmed a few of those year to date. In healthcare, we've trimmed a few names. That sector is really gotten extended. You know, we've seen some of the hospital companies do extremely well. And we think that while their 3 to 5 year expectations are pretty lofty, that the companies have gotten a little ahead of themselves, and we trim back in that area. Other than that, we've avoided commodities type stocks. We avoid gold, and you know, we think that anything that's growth and cyclical should do well as we move into the second half of the year. We close attention to the earnings projections. And right now, the 2014 earnings setting is looking pretty good. Yeah, they're calling for Thompson's calling for the 2014 growth of a double digits, which is a positive. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So we'll stop you there, and now we'll take a look and see how you feel about some picks from my audience.
Okay. Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
That's right. It's Hold It or Fold It time with my guest, Ted Parrish, co-manager of the Hensler Equity Fund. It's HEQFX. Hensler.com, H-E-N-S-S, as in savings, L-E-R, Hensler.com. Of course, Hold It or Fold It, that's where we put our guests to your test. And for you to test our guests, you need to send us your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to chuck@moneylifeshow.com. All right, we're going to start with two requests we got from Bob in Roanoke, Virginia. The first is for Church and Dwight. It's ticker symbol C-H-D.
Church & Dwight is one of the smaller leading consumer staples companies. The company is the world's largest maker of baking soda, but they also sell have the leading condom and pregnancy test in the market. It's a solid growth story. You know, been around a while. It's Arm & Hammer baking soda. We think right now the company is a bit ahead of itself. It's selling for a P/E ratio of about 24. Times, and I would be very reluctant to buy it. At best, I would hold on to it in this market.
So
it's a long-term hold.
I was going to say, you're looking for a better time to buy. You're not selling if you've got it. So for somebody who's there, we sum that up this way.
I'm just taking my time before making the move.
That's a hold on Church and Dwight, ticker symbol CHD. Bob's other request was Thermo Fisher Scientific, TMO.
Thermo Scientific, they're a maker of testing and laboratory products in the healthcare space. I think they avoid the issue of regulation and cutbacks in healthcare spending because they're in the testing side of things. And I think that's a good space to be in. Stock's not really expensive, but it has done quite well this year. If I owned it, I would hold it, and I would even consider buying it. So I like Thermo Fisher.
Okay, so it's a soft buy because you're still a little bit on the price. But if you're looking for a long-term buy, that was a long-term buy on Thermo Fisher Scientific, ticker symbol TMO.
I'm in this for the long haul.
Next up, Gordon in Downey, California, wants to know about Vectrin Corporation. It's ticker symbol VVC.
Well, we've never been really fond of utilities, but this utility is pretty diverse, operating out of Indiana. It has a pretty broad revenue structure with 36% residential, 27% commercial, and 35% industrial. So it's pretty broad. It also owns some coal mining property. Has a good dividend of 4.3%. Not that fond of utilities, but this one seems to be in a pretty good, pretty sweet spot. If I owned it, I would hold it. I would probably not commit new funds to it, though.
And, of course, that's not a buy because, as you point out, you're not a big fan of that space. So that basically puts it into the hold category, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a hold on Vectrin Corporation, ticker symbol VVC.
No money changes hands today.
But, again, if you feel differently about the utilities section, then that's an area that you might look because that's about as nice as I've ever heard Ted speak about a utility company. Chris, it's true, Ted. You know it is.
It is true. It is true. You're right.
Next up, Chris in Morrisville, North Carolina wants to know about Archer Daniels Midland. It's ADM.
Archer Daniels is one of those stocks that's hard to get a handle on because while they process oil seed and, you know, the whole theme of emerging markets seeing more per capita consumption of higher end foods, you know, this company's volatile because they have trading operations. And, you know, the beta's pretty high on it. I like it because of the longer-term theme of the emerging markets, more per capita consumption of beef, chicken, and the like. So Archer Daniels Midland, in my mind, is a great long-term holding, 2.5% dividend yield. and that's growing. So I would buy Archer Daniels.
I was going to say, and you're willing to buy it right now. So that was a buy on ADM Archer Daniels Midland.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Last up from Brandt in New York City, General Electric, GE.
Well, General Electric's the company that I've owned off and on over the years, Chuck, and you know they've downsized GE Capital and put more focus on the industrials business, which has been doing extremely well. I think that they have the capacity to up their share repurchases and even increase the dividend yield. I think Jeff Immelt gets a bad rap, and you know, he's done a great job in getting the company back focused on the core, which is industrials. I would buy the stock. I had a target of $25 earlier in the year. I think that given the changes, given the progress they've made and becoming more efficient, going back to the Six Sigma side of things, that the stock could go up to $30 over the next year and a half.
So
I would buy it.
That was a buy on GE, General Electric.
Buy, buy, buy. Is that all you can think about?
Well, we love thinking about buys, but right now, well, we've got to say our goodbyes to Ted Parrish, co-manager of Hensler Equity, HEQFX is the ticker symbol, and if you want more information, it is Hensler.com. Ted, it's always great to chat with you. Thanks so much for joining me. I hope you'll come back again soon.
Sure will. Thank you, Chuck, and have a great day.
There is just a little bit more to go before we finish the Monday, July the 15th edition of Money Life. But if you stick around, I promise you we'll set you up for the rest of the week and everything that's coming and a little bit more. This is Money Life.